listen, I won't be at the trampoline park. You get this thing moving, it's hard to get it stopped. I was built for comfort, not for speed. Donovan took his child, I think, over to... You there? I'm a prodigal. That was a big deal what happened right there. For all these people, let's tell them one more time. I grew up in church, was there every time the church doors were open, and by the time I was in the 10th grade, I'd kind of checked out of church, and I would go, but I didn't go because I was there to get anything out of it or anything else. I just went because that was one of the rules in our house. And so I went, and my sophomore year of high school, I just kind of checked out and didn't find anything interesting about any of the things that are going on in this room today. I lived my life like that for a period of time, and at 21 years old, I came back to Christ and through a series of events, and my testimony today was I wasn't a chainsaw massacrist. I was not an addict. I wasn't an alcohol person. I was just a normal everyday guy that had checked out of church and kind of wanted to live my own life and do my own thing. And I was materialistic and just thought that, that having money was going to make me happy and the different things. And so I had a pretty good career going, some good things happening in my life that way. And on the inside, I was an absolutely miserable man. And I started having dreams at night because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that one of these days, the trumpet of God is going to sound, and it says the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then those that are alive and remain are going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. The church calls that the rapture, and what that means is the Christ that we're talking about today, the Christ that we serve, he's coming back again. And the Bible says he's coming back for those who have committed their lives to Christ, who have been living for Jesus, and he's promised us that when he comes back, he's going to take us to a place that he's prepared for us called heaven. And I'm excited about that, and what I knew was this, that there was a period of time in my life that if Jesus would have came back, there was no way I would have went to heaven. There's no way I would have ever got there. And I started having dreams that night that Jesus came back and I'd been left, and I was scared absolutely to death. Now, some of you have heard this story. I was scared absolutely to death to the point after a period of weeks, I didn't want to go to sleep at night. And Gretchen and I had been married for a couple of years, and neither one of us were Christians, neither one of us were serving the Lord. And after a couple of year period, I was having these dreams, and the only person that I knew in my life at that time that was a Christian was my mother. And I had other people that, but the only one I trusted was my mom. And my mom and dad were living back in Montana, and so because of the time change in Montana being an hour different than it is in Oregon, at 4 o'clock in the morning, because here was my normal night, okay? I would stay up, I'd watch the late news at 11 o'clock, I'd watch Johnny Carson at 11:30 until he went off. Then I'd watch the 1 o'clock movie. Now, this is KPTV, Channel 12, in Portland, Oregon. And I would watch the late night movie until the late night movie was open, and that was before cable days. And then there was this Native American head with a big number 3, and the TV would go, boop, and that's when I would go to bed. An hour later, I'd wake up completely wringing wet. I had long hair back then, too, by the way. Hair completely wet, scared to death, because I had dreamed again that Jesus had come and I'd been left. So I'd call my mom, because she's the only one that I knew as a Christian. And when my mom would answer the phone, she'd go, hello, and I'd just go, big sigh of relief. And she'd say, what are you doing calling this early? Oh, couldn't sleep, just kind of, you know, just stop. Just want to call and see how you're doing. You know, how's your day going so far? Well, I've been out of bed for like 45 minutes. You know, it's going really well. But then I'd hang up and I'd say, thank you, God, that he had not returned. And I kind of lived my life that way for a period of weeks, almost a month. And on a Sunday morning, I'll never forget it. Made a trip to a little church out in South Salem. Pastor preached that morning. Couldn't tell you what he preached. And it's like a lot of you can't remember anything I preach either. But at the end of the service, the pastor said, you know, there's some of you that need to come home today. And I got up, and I walked down to the front of the church, and there was an altar like these. And I knelt down there, and I felt somebody kind of close to me, which I don't like my space invaded very much, especially back then. I don't mind it now. But somebody was kind of rubbing up against me. I turned around, it was my wife. And that morning, we both gave our hearts to Jesus. And I can tell you that was 36 years ago, and my life has never been the same since. And all the honor belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I'm saying is this, and the reason that I told you that story was because immediately after I recommitted my life to Jesus Christ, I got baptized. And I had been baptized in the Deschutes River in Tumalo when I was in the sixth grade. I was a small child, and they had a baptismal service there, and we had a picnic, an all-church picnic, and I got baptized. But that time when I was 21, I meant it. And it was just like some of these folks said this morning. And I like what Jeremy said about, are you going to serve God the rest of your life? Well, friends, can I just tell you that once that happens right there and we do that in obedience to the Lord, he changes our lives. It's a huge deal. It's a big deal what happened here this morning. And my life has never been the same. My life has never been the same since then. And so a lot of times people will ask my wife, they say, what is it like to be married to a preacher? And she says, I don't know. I was married to a floor covering installer, you know, and then the Lord kind of changed directions on us. And what I'm saying, and the reason that I told you that this morning, and especially for those that have been baptized, I don't know what God has for you in your future, but I know he's got good for you. And the more that you're obedient to the Lord and the more that you walk with Jesus and the more that you open your heart to him, he is going to radically change your life, and I'm so thankful for that. But I want to talk to you just for a few minutes this morning. We're not going to be here long. About water baptism and understanding. We've been in a series called Understanding. We've talked about understanding grace. We've talked about understanding contentment. We talked about understanding trust, understanding communion. And today we have this water baptismal. And so those of you that have been around Christianity for a few years know what water baptism is, but it's a good reminder for all of us. But in Matthew chapter 3 this morning, it says this in God's word, Matthew chapter 3 verse 13. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Now, let me just give you a little backstory. John the Baptist is the cousin of Jesus Christ. Before this verbiage that we read right here in God's word, which this is true that we're talking about this morning. It's God's word. It's true. It's inerrant. It's infallible word of God. John's baptizing in the Jordan River, and Jesus appears, and he's up on the bank, and John points to Jesus, and he says, look, and he points out Jesus, and he says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so when Jesus comes to John and says, I want you to baptize me, I want you to think about that for just a minute. Because here's John, he knows who Jesus is, he knows that he's the Messiah, he's the Son of God who's come into the world to give us life as a ransom for everybody, he's going to be the Savior of the entire world, and Jesus says to him, I want you to baptize me, and John's just like, hold on a second, do you know who I am? You know, I'm nothing. And Jesus says, no, we have to do this to fulfill all the scripture, to fulfill righteousness, in other words, to do what had been prophesied that God wanted. And so then it goes on to say, then John consented, and as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment the heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. This is a big deal, and Jesus did this as a demonstration and as an example for us to follow. So when we talk about water baptism, the act of water baptism or being immersed in water is in response to receiving salvation. In other words, We don't get baptized and then come to know Jesus. That's the reason that we asked this morning, Pastor Jeremy and those that were in that tank this morning said, have you committed your life to Jesus? Have you made him the Lord of your life? And everybody said yes. This is the prerequisite of baptism, is to know Jesus and receiving salvation through Jesus Christ. And it's a very, very important first step in the Christian life. And in this passage of scripture that we just read, we see the Lord Jesus himself coming to his cousin John to be baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness. Then he went on to establish baptism as the eternal ordinance for his church. And Jesus calls every believer to follow in his footsteps, and we read that in Matthew 28, and Pastor Jeremy quoted that we are to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But in our modernized comfort zone Christianity, and hear my heart this morning, what happens is many times, and especially as believers and especially as Christians, we take God's commands far too lightly. And you know, I don't want to play Christianity. I don't want to play in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sold out to the Lord. I want what he wants in my life. I want to live for him. And I know that you do too, or you wouldn't be here this morning. Chuck Colson, who's been gone for a number of years now, he made this statement a number of years ago. He said, most Westerners take baptism for granted, but for many in the world, the act requires immense courage to be baptized in water. In some countries like Nepal, it once meant imprisonment, and at one time, and it could be still this way in some of these areas, but in the Soviet Union, in China, and some of the Eastern Bloc countries, when believers were baptized in water, it was like signing a death warrant for them. It was just like signing a death warrant, and these people still would be baptized in water. They would be immersed to show that they were followers of Jesus Christ. This morning as I stand here, I think about this ring that I have on my finger, and this ring is really a symbol today that I've been married to my wife Gretchen, and this year in August will be 38 years. I know I don't look quite that old yet, but no, you don't have to clap about that. But it'll be 38 years, but what is a ring for? It's a symbol that you're taken. You know, it means that I'm married to Gretchen, and we've got men that are in the military that are part of this congregation, and when they wear their uniform, it's a symbol that they're in the military, and depending on what kind of uniform they have on, you can identify them. Well, friends, can I just tell you what happened in that tank this morning? Identified those people with Jesus Christ. It identified them. In other words, they became disciples of Jesus today. You know, and it identified them. So I use the word symbol here very cautiously, because to say that baptism is just a symbol really could take away from the depth and the meaning of what water baptism is really about. Baptism is a symbol, but it's much, much more than that, because when we're saved, or when we are, when we get saved or make a commitment to Jesus Christ, and friends, what does it mean to be saved? It means that I've confessed my sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, then he is faithful and just, speaking of Jesus, to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we get saved, or when we come to salvation, it means that I've repented of my sin. I've given my sin. I've said, Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart, and I'm gonna serve you the rest of my days. That means that I just got saved, or that I came to Christ in salvation. So when we're saved, we are spiritually baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 tells us this, that we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So when we come to Jesus, we also identify ourselves with him. When we give our heart to Jesus, we identify ourselves with him, and we become Christ followers. But baptism is a sign to the outward people of something that happened on the inside. And so basically today what these guys have done, and I know the people that got baptized in water today, and I know that they've been followers of Jesus, but what happened today is they identified themselves with Jesus in front of this entire crowd today. So when you see them at Safeway tomorrow, or Fred Meyer, or wherever you see them tomorrow, you're going to be able to look at them and go, oh, that guy's a Christian right there. He's a follower of Christ. And you can say, how do you know that? Because he identified himself that way, or she identified herself that way yesterday in front of all of us. We are identified as believers. So we begin to understand that we're clothed with Christ, but we're also baptized into his body, which is the church. And friends, let me just say this. The name of this church is Redmond Assembly of God, and I love Redmond Assembly of God, but I love all the churches of Jesus Christ in this community. We have the most amazing Bible-believing churches in Central Oregon. We've got amazing pastors. We've got amazing people that serve God, that go to all different denomination of churches, that love God with all their heart, and we're all together part of the body of Christ. So when we drive past churches in our town, we can realize if they know Christ and if they're Bible-believing churches, we know that those people are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We identify ourselves as the body of Christ, and I pray for them, and you guys will notice that we pray often for our churches and for our pastors and for Christians from this pulpit on a regular basis on Sunday mornings when we have church. We pray for them. And what is our prayer for them? That they will just live for Jesus, that they'll let their light shine in our community this week. Because friends, listen, if these churches that I'm talking about, and I think there's 40-some churches in Redmond, but in Central Oregon, there's a large number of churches. But if everybody in the church, if every church today that calls themselves Bible-believing churches were filled three or four times on Sunday morning, can I just tell you there'd still be thousands of people that would not know Jesus today. And so we have a big job. All of the churches have a big job of letting our light shine, trying to be a demonstration of who Jesus is and being the body of Christ. So we're also baptized into the body, which is the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, it says this, that the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into the body, whether we're Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. So the first thing that I want to say about water baptism today is this, is that baptism in water is an outward representation of those inward realities. In other words, what they're doing today when they were baptized in water is they're saying, outwardly, I'm giving a demonstration, I'm showing you what Jesus is doing on the inside of my heart today. It's an outward representation of inward realities. In biblical symbolism, water always represents cleansing. And we find this cleansing, I don't have time to go into these scriptures this morning, but if you're taking notes or you want to write these down, you can look them up later. Ephesians 5:26, Hebrews 10:22. And then there's a spiritual rebirth that Jesus talks to Nicodemus about in John chapter 3, verse 2. And it's the central theme, and all these have a central theme of baptism. So we have both inner cleansing and a spiritual rebirth. And so water baptism is that outward representation of what's happened on the inside, that we've come to Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man, if any woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things, behold, all things become new. Second thing about water baptism is this morning, in essence, it was kind of celebratory in here. Did you notice that this morning? Have you ever been in a funeral like that before? Because honestly, what happened this morning, in essence, was a funeral service. Did you know that? Because what happened is when those people went down in the water this morning, they were dying to the old person. And they were coming out in resurrection life to the new person that Christ has for them to be. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's an act of faith, which we testify both of God and to the world that the person that we were before Christ, is dead and buried, and we are raised up as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And it's really amazingly illustrated in this passage of scripture in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It says this, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So when we come up out of the water, we spring forth into new life. It's a big deal. We've been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 says. The third thing about water baptism is this, is being baptized is a command of God. It's not an option. It's not an option. Now hear me again this morning. It's an act of God that God requires of every believer. In fact, among Jesus' last recorded words on earth was these. He said in Mark 16:16, he said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And I want us to think about that just for a minute. Because here's what we know, that Jesus' very call to believe in him includes a call to be baptized in water. If he puts it in that category, then he must see it as being something that is very important for every one of us. And I think that we can all agree on it. It's a big step. It's an important step. I probably, just like you, have never read of an unbaptized Christian anywhere in the Bible. In fact, baptism immediately followed a person's salvation, and they didn't see it as something that was to be delayed or to put off. And there's some scriptures that talk about this. In Acts 2:38, it says, when the people responded to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, the first thing that he instructed them to do was to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Well, we further read it in this verse that it says that they gladly received his words and were baptized. Now, I want you to tell you this morning, that was a long day for Peter, because that day it says that 3,000 people were baptized. Now, if we had 3,000 people, we would have had to bring a lunch bag this morning, you know, or we would have had to steal some little kid's lunch and take the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And Pastor Jeremy would have prayed. No, never mind. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, this is the account of Philip leading the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. And as they finish their discussion, the eunuch enthusiastically asks, "What is hindering me from being baptized?" To which Philip replies, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." Then they came to a body of water, and Philip promptly baptizes this Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts chapter 22, verse 16, the first thing the apostle Paul is told to do after his conversion was to be baptized. And there are a number of other instances that we could look at, and there's a lot of them in the book of Acts in chapter 10, 16, chapter 18, and chapter 19. In each of these cases, we notice that there is a sense of urgency that is attached to baptism. So these people all responded to Jesus in simple faith. However, they didn't see their faith as complete until they obeyed the Lord to be baptized. In other words, they weren't just going to walk away from their salvation. They were saying, "I'm going to be baptized in water. I'm going to follow the Lord's command, and I'm going to be baptized." So we have to keep this in mind when we think about this. In James chapter 2, and a lot of us know this scripture, talks about faith. We have to keep in mind that faith without works or the corresponding actions is dead, it says in James chapter 2:17. So what's happening here is when these people are baptized, they're following and they're responding to their faith by being baptized in water. The fourth thing, and I only have 5 this morning, so we're cruising right along, okay? The fourth thing is this, that a living faith produces an obedient heart. A living faith produces an obedient heart. We see this in Matthew 7:21. There's several scriptures that talk about this. But in 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4, it says this, "And how can we be sure that we belong to him?" Who is him? Jesus. How can we be sure that we belong to him? And here's what John says, by obeying his commands. If someone says, "I belong to God," but doesn't obey God's commands, that person is a liar and does not live in the truth. But those who obey God's word really do love him. That is the way that we know whether we live in him or whether or not we live in him. Those that say they live in God should live their lives as Christ did. So water baptism is the first act of obedience, okay? Now, one of the things, and I could just go here just for a second, the thing that is important about this is it says this, that those that say that they live in God should live as Christ did. In other words, it produces change in our lives, okay? I'm not the person that I used to be. These folks are not the persons that they used to be. That's why I love listening to testimonies. This morning we heard people, and I can't remember, I don't know, I just sit here and I cry the whole time, people are being baptized in water. It just blesses me. But somebody said, "I was incarcerated, I've been an addict, I've been these different things, and Jesus Christ has changed my life." In other words, they're not the same today as they were. You know, there's a difference. Christ Jesus makes a difference in our lives. And then the last thing this morning is this, is baptism, and I love this, is the very special way of God communicating how much he loves us. How much he loves us. See, when we receive God's saving grace, it's no accident that he calls us to identify with him in a way that makes it real to us. Can I just tell you this morning that we're family, we're the family of God. You know, that's one of the things that happens at Celebrate Recovery on Wednesday nights is Sharon will always stand up here, and Sharon does such a good job leading that group. Sharon, thank you for doing that. She's a good gal. she's got such great leaders that are a part of her leadership team, and I want to thank all the leadership team and stuff. And I get a help, you know? I get a help. I just have this super important job. I stand at that door right back there, and I have this orange badge, and it says, "Hi, my name is Dwayne, and I'm a volunteer. How can I help?" You know? And it's always fun because a few weeks ago, one of the ladies that has been coming to Celebrate Recovery came to one of our services, and I preached, and after church was over, she walks up and she goes, "I had no idea you were the preacher here." And I said, "Well, that's good. You know, that's a good thing, you know." But anyways, I love what's happening there, and God's changing lives. But he shows people how much that he loves them. He communicates his love for us with it. Oh, yeah, by the way, I was going to say one other thing about Celebrate Recovery. Don't miss Wednesday night. This is a big deal. You know, it's a big deal. Yeah, don't miss the Wednesday night. Don't miss the Wednesday night service. So when we receive God's saving grace, it's no accident. Oh, I was going to tell you this. This is where I was at. I lost my mind there for a minute. Listen. There's not a person in this room that doesn't love your kids. You know, I'm proud to call my kids my kids. I love my son, and I love my daughter, and I love my daughter-in-law, and I love my son-in-law. And every time I'm around them and people say, "Do you have kids?" I go, "Yeah, I have kids. And I got four little precious granddaughters, and I love them. I'm not embarrassed of any of them." You know, I love having my son with me. I love having my daughter with me and their families with us. I love having them. You know, we're proud of them. And can I just tell you, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to be proud of each other. You know, that we're serving Christ, and we need to be in each other's corner. We need to have each other's back. We need to be people that are praying and believing God for one another. And it's the same way. It's no accident that God calls us to identify with him in a way that makes it real to us. In other words, God says the same thing, and I want you to think about it this morning, because this, we didn't see this with our physical eyes this morning, but spiritually this happened. That every time one of those people came up out of that water this morning, you know what? The Holy Spirit settled on them, and the Lord said, "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased." And that's a big deal right there. That's a big deal right there. God is proud of his children. So let me just say this to you this morning. If you're struggling with guilt over your past, now hear me this morning. If you're struggling with guilt over your past, it may be because you haven't given the old person the proper burial. Now, I want you to think about that, okay? Water baptism is a very powerful reminder this morning of God's wonderful grace, that the person we were before is dead forever, and we are raised with Jesus Christ as a totally new creation. That's what the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come." We're brand new people. In other words, there's life change. And so when we accept Jesus Christ, change happens and you become different. Now, let me give you my only lesson that I know, and I don't know this from experience. I only know it because I read about it. Is anybody canned pickles in this room this morning? If you can pickles, raise your hand. I like to eat pickles that are canned. But apparently, whenever you're canning pickles, you have to boil them in water. And after you boil them in water, then you dip them in vinegar. And it's the vinegar, after you've opened the pickle pores. That's kind of a cool deal right there, the pickle pores. I don't know. It sounded good, though. But once the pickle pores are opened, you know what you do? You dip it in vinegar. And the vinegar is what makes the change. And once the vinegar is applied to the pickle can never go back to being the same as it was before it was. You know what I'm talking about? Thanks for going with me on that one. But here's what happened. It wasn't the water that made the difference. It was the vinegar that changed the pickle. And can I just tell you, if there's not life change in your life after you're baptized, all you did was get wet. Okay? All you did was get wet. After you are baptized in water and you identify yourself with Christ, friends, listen, there needs to be change in your life. It means that I don't talk the way I used to. I don't hang out in places that I used to. I don't hang around with people that I used to. There's a change in my life. Why? Because I know that all those things can have a tendency to pull me back in the other direction again. And I'm not going to do that. I've identified myself with Christ, and I'm going to take that step. I'm going to move forward with the Lord. And can I just tell you this? If it was up to us, there's no way we could do it. But the power of the Spirit, what we talked about this morning, what Pastor Brian said, the power of God to change your life will hold you and will take you and lead you and help you in those next steps. And friends, you don't have to worry about going back the other direction, because God will hold you firm. But you got to make a decision to let that happen in your life. You have to make a decision to let that happen in your life. So this morning, it was kind of interesting, because last week I had the privilege of speaking at a men's retreat, a men's camp, and so while we were over there, I shared a little bit of my testimony, and I told them that story that I just told you this morning about my mother being the only Christian that I knew. So the guy that was kind of the MC, his name's John Bagorio, and he pastors in Depot Bay over on the coast. And John got up on Sunday morning, and he said, you know, we got up really early this morning, and he said, and I'm looking around in our cabin, and he said, and I'm looking, and there was that guy, and that guy was there, and that guy was there, and that guy was there, but there was a pastor that was visiting that was from Texas, and he said, and he wasn't there. And he said, and I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, where's he at? His name was Warren. And he goes, I couldn't figure out where Warren was at, and I was thinking, where'd Warren go? And everybody else is asleep, and I'm thinking, I need to get a hold of Pastor Dwayne right away. I got to find his mom's phone number. Friends, it's okay for us to laugh and have fun in church. But here's what I want to say to you this morning, is some of you in this room today, you're prodigals. Just like I was. Just like Donovan was. You know what? Some of you have been around church, and somehow or another, somebody said something that was dumb, and I'm just going to say it like that. Because I talk to people all the time that say, you know what, I'll never go back to church because somebody hurt my feelings there. And can I just tell you, don't let, because somebody was dumb to you, keep you from being who Jesus wants you to be. He didn't do that to you. He didn't do it to you. You know, some of you here might be here this morning because you came to watch some of the people get baptized in water this morning. And you know what? Maybe the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart's door this morning. It's time for you to come home. You know, maybe the Lord's saying the same thing to you that he said to me that number of years ago, and said, you know what? It's time. It's time for you to commit. It's time for you to recommit. Maybe you're here and you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, or maybe you served the Lord for one time and you were like me and you thought, you know what, I've kind of had it with this church thing. But can I just tell you this morning, God hasn't had it with you. He hasn't had it with you. And the thing that I love so much about Jesus is when we turn our back and we walk away from him, he always stands with open arms. And he bids us to come home. And that prodigal son that Donovan talked about this morning, you'll find that whole story in Luke chapter 15. And can I tell you about the prodigal son just for a second, and then we'll close this service. He demanded from his dad that he wanted his inheritance, and then he left. Broke his dad's heart. But his dad never stopped looking for his son. The Bible says that every day he stood and he looked down the road waiting for his son to come home. And the Bible says this, that after the son took the inheritance and he went, he squandered everything he had. He had lost everything. He was at rock bottom. And the Bible says that son was eating out of a pig trough. When all of a sudden he came to his senses and he said, even my dad's servants have it better than this. I'm going to go home and maybe my dad will receive me back. And the Bible says that he takes a step, and it was a step of faith. And he headed home. And the Bible says this, that while he was still a long way down the road, his dad saw him. His dad saw him. And he immediately turns around and he looks at his workers and he says, go get a robe and go get a ring and go get shoes. Kill a calf, because my son has come home and we're having a party tonight. And friends, can I just tell you that every time one of God's children comes home, there's a celebration in heaven. There's a celebration in heaven, and heaven's celebrating today. But friends, what I want to say to you is this, is that we can look at it, we can use all sorts of excuses of why we don't serve the Lord and because of this or because of that. But I can tell you this, that one of these days we're all going to stand before him, and at that time we're not going to have any excuses. We're not going to have any. And what the Lord's going to say to you is, I loved you with an unending love. I never quit loving you. But somehow we quit loving him. And friends, this morning, we can have that same opportunity that that son had to come back and to have the Lord that we serve this morning receive us with open arms. And if that's you today and you're in this room and you need to recommit your life to Christ, maybe you've served him for a while but you've been away from him and you need to come back to Jesus, or maybe you've never made a commitment to Jesus and today's the first time, while we're all just looking at each other because we love you here. If that's you today, I want you to just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need to make that trip back to Jesus today. Is there anyone here? Thank you. I need to make that trip back. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you up there. Is there anyone else? We need to make that trip. Thanks. Thank you back there. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Lots of us. Anybody that I missed as I'm looking around? I don't want to miss anybody. And I want you to know how much Jesus loves you today and how much he cares about you. And I can tell you this, that we love you as a church of Jesus Christ today. We love you. So I'm going to ask Mike if they'd come back. We're going to sing this song, God is with us. He never fails us. He never leaves us. And I want us to stand together. And as they stand together, I'm just going to ask you to take one more brave step today, if you would. And friends, this is a brave step, and I want you to tell people that are going to come with you. You won't come by yourself. There will be people that will come with you today, okay? So I don't want you, I know some of you, you got your heart in your throat right now because of what I ask you to do. And I don't want you to be timid right now. I want you just to step out. I want you to come down. And we're going to pray for you this morning, and I'm going to have some of our folks come this morning. They're going to pray with you. Yeah, let's tell these guys we're proud of them this morning. We're proud of you. We're proud of you. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I want to tell you one other thing right here, okay? 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today. Okay? 2 weeks from today, we're going to baptize people again. Amen. And some of you that are standing here, that's going to be your time to be baptized in water, okay? And I want you to be brave about it and say, you know what? I'm going to serve Jesus and I'm going to follow him. So what I'm going to ask you to do right now is I want you to say a prayer with me, okay? I want us to just pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you today that you love me. Thank you that you care about my life. Jesus, today I open my heart to you and I ask that you'll forgive my sin, that you'll cleanse me today on the inside and on the outside. Today, Jesus, I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to live for you from this day forward. So, Lord, thank you that you never gave up on me. And, Jesus, I thank you that I'm home today, safe again in your arms. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 It's a big deal.